welcome once again to another episode of Sales Fleet Management Association Radio. Our host today is Ron Morgan, the CEO of Demand Lab, the sponsor of this program as well. It has to do with sales lead manager and sales lead marketing, especially demand. Starts right here with today's show. Hey, welcome, Roan.
Hey, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Revenue Rebels. I'm really excited today to welcome Christy Gilmuto. She is the VP of Strategic Marketing at LLR Partners. Christy translates actionable growth advice from LLR's portfolio companies, from their network of senior operators, and from the LLR team itself. They pull all of this amazing content into digital and live content, events, and resources. This work that Christy is doing creates opportunities for sharing best practices among business leaders. She's also the head of all of LLR's brand, PR, and social media presence. Christy, can you share a little bit with the listeners about what LLR Partners does and your role there?
So in the private equity world, LLR Partners is considered a growth equity investor. So that means that we're putting capital into fairly mature businesses, not startups, to help them accelerate their growth. And the ways they can use that capital can be things like expanding their operations, entering new markets, making acquisitions, building out their sales and marketing teams. A lot of times that's like a sales development team, but it's all for the purpose of growing their business. And my role at LLR is to primarily be the brand champion and to lead all of our marketing efforts. Like you mentioned earlier, that includes content, social media, PR, everything you see in our digital presence on the web. And it's all for the primary goal of not only helping us source opportunities, but as I'll talk about more in this podcast, really nurturing investment opportunities for the firm.
Awesome. Cool. And so today, there's so much that we could talk about. We could have at least easily five podcasts. But today, this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. We're talking about driving revenue using content marketing. And to be clear to everybody out there listening, you know, the topic of content supports the goals of both marketing and sales. So I really see this as, marketing and sales are teams that go hand in hand, and content is something that supports everything in between. So I also want to let everybody know that this is a two-part series. Today, we're going to be focusing on building your strategy, and then we'll be back with part two on executing through the strategy. Why don't we start by talking about the challenges that you were trying to address when you launched the content marketing initiative at LLR? What was the impetus to putting some resources behind this?
Private equity is a very crowded market today. There's a lot of firms out there. There's a ton of capital being invested. And what that means is that the CEOs of the growth stage businesses that we're targeting, they're the same people that every other private equity firm is trying to reach. So they're getting calls and emails from potential investors and bankers and all kinds of folks kind of in our ecosystem every day. Not to mention, they're actually trying to run a business. So they're very, very busy. At the same time, if they're thinking about raising capital, it's a very, very long-term decision. So it's very rare that a CEO will wake up one morning and say, it's time for me to raise private equity money. I'm going to go out and find an investor or hire a banker and get this started and be done with it in 6 months. When we initially connect with a CEO, it could be anywhere from 3 months to 3 years or even more before you really get into the conversation, the diligence, and actually, you know, potentially invest in that business. So our challenge is that once we start a conversation with a company, and it's usually with the CEO, we have to show value ongoing. We have to position ourselves top of mind, like I said, months later, years later, when it does come time for that CEO to choose a private equity partner. And knowing all of that, LLR made a commitment a couple years ago to be different about the way we go to market and the way we present our brand. And we wanted to be smarter about how we nurture the relationships with those companies that we're talking to. And that's really where the content marketing comes in. I'll say up front that my focus is really not about brand new lead gen. It's much more about nurturing relationships ongoing and about us being able to look at the engagement analytics with content in order to be smarter about how we're differentiating ourselves, how we're living and breathing our brand, and how we're trying to translate those relationships into real investment opportunities.
A couple of the keywords that I pulled out of there were, you know, being able to look at the analytics around the content, which I think is not always the easiest thing to do, right? Because we're used to looking at other sort of channel engagement, but content specific is tougher. And then also nurturing those relationships, which takes a lot of time. As you said, I mean, especially depending on your industry, you guys, it could be months, but it's probably more like quarters or years. You know, we often hear about business leaders that have really great ideas for content that we're all sure will engage prospects better. But they don't realize that it's going to, or what it's going to take rather to pull it all together, and that it can't be a one and done sort of approach, right? Really does that require that strategy and a clear plan. So can you walk us through a little more around how LLR developed the strategy to reach, and you guys have a very targeted audience, really specific. What did that look like?
Sure. So our target audience, like I said, is CEOs, and it can be CFOs of growth stage businesses. One thing that was really, I think, key to our success early on about developing the strategy was recognizing that we didn't necessarily have to reinvent our brand to that audience. We just needed to articulate better how we're different and act on it in a way that was more effective. LLR has been around for 20 years, and we've always been focused on giving our portfolio companies access to knowledge and expertise that they need to grow. So on top of providing them capital to support their growth plan, we're giving them a lot of resources and sort of this depth of knowledge that we have in our organization and within our network to help them in areas like talent and sales and marketing and finance and M&A and all those things where they're going to put capital into growing, but they need more than money. They need advice. They need sort of best practices on how to do it. But the thing is, all that insight really lived inside our heads, and it had never been codified in a way that new audiences outside of our portfolio companies could access it and apply it to their own businesses. That's perfect fodder for a content strategy, right? So the content is already there. And I think that that's really critical to developing a strategy, is looking at what you already have access to versus trying to invent something brand new and seeing how you can then sort of harness that and codify it into a format, like a written format, and share it with others. So that's how Growth Bits were born. We branded it Growth Bits, which is a great term. And I've spent the last 2 years working with our portfolio leaders, our advisors, our board directors, and our internal experts to write 900 to 1,000 word posts, put them out every other week to share this content with our audiences, to kind of bring this knowledge out of our heads, put it on paper, and send it out through mostly through email and social media. And once we got into a strong cadence of producing it, we added other types of formats like ebooks and industry-related content.
I can't wait to hear more about some of the other types of content and the technology and everything that you guys have put in place in order to make this happen. It does look like it is time for us to take a quick break, but we will take a moment just to hear a little bit more about Demand Lab. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Christy Del Muto. We're discussing driving revenue through content marketing.
And we just want to give you a quick reminder that today's episode of SLMA is brought to you by Demand Lab, which helps organizations like yours transform their revenue potential by connecting their greatest assets, people, processes, technology, and data. They do it through a customized revenue ecosystem solution. By leveraging marketing technology, data science, governance, and analytics, as well as good content, Demand Lab helps B2B organizations advance business goals and drive revenue. And isn't that what it's all about? If you want to learn more, simply visit their website, Demand Labs, and find all the different solutions they have available at demandlab.com. That's demandlab.com. Demand the best. All right, with that, let's pick it back up. Second half of our show.
Thank you so much, Paul. Let's jump right back in. Christy, can you tell us how technology plays into your strategy? How have you blended content efforts with technology to drive success?
So our website is obviously the hub for where we house all of our content, and it's where other people, our audiences, can access it. That's built on WordPress. Our distribution channel is primarily through email, and there's a host of tools behind the scenes that make that happen in the smartest way possible, we'd like to think. So Demand Lab, we work with, Roam Your Firm, to manage Marketo for us, which is a big help for me because I'm a team of one. I don't have the technical knowledge to do it myself or a technical resource internally to do it, so we outsource it to your firm. Then we manage all of our contacts in Salesforce, and we spent a lot of time over the last few years testing and tweaking that Marketo and Salesforce integration to make sure that we can segment our contacts in the right way and that we have access to those analytics and sort of the right data in the right places within Salesforce, and it's mostly being drawn from Marketo, for us to be able to look at both how our audiences engage with our content holistically and then an individual contact record level so that we can kind of determine an action plan on how we should follow up with the contact once we see how they're engaging with our content.
Segmentation, again, data and analytics, and also one-to-one communication. So actually being able to see, use the back end of your platforms to see how best to communicate and engage with your audience. So, you know, we recently had a guest on the podcast who talked about the importance of audience segmentation and, you know, the impact that it delivers in terms of being able to really connect with your targeted customers and prospects and really drive that customer experience, right? And drive them to action. How does LLR use segmentation to personalize its outreach?
So I think it's first important to note that we only send our content to individuals that LLR has connected with one-on-one via phone or an in-person meeting. Mm. In addition, we send it to people who have proactively visited our site and subscribed to our content. So we're not buying lists, and we're not marketing to people with whom we've never had any interaction. I'm sure we could have a whole separate podcast about the compliance reasons behind this. But also for us, I think it's critical to sort of that brand message as well, where we're not trying to force ourselves onto people that we don't know through our content, but instead we're nurturing those relationships. And so the segmentation comes in a couple formats. We generally keep all of our growth company executives' contacts together in one large segment. So they're the ones that receive the new growth bits every other week, along with anyone who has subscribed. And the other sort of half of our audience is referral sources and investment bankers, so people who could introduce us to them. And if they choose to opt into our content, which they do, then we send it to them as well. But as our library has grown, and because we have one-on-one conversations with these core target CEOs to sort of prompt them receiving our content, we're able to now segment them by the growth areas that they tell us in those conversations are challenging them the most. So we have a market development team here that functions like a sales development team. And when they're talking to them one-on-one, they're also taking notes in our Salesforce system. And so as an example, if a CEO shares in that conversation that his primary goal for this year is to create a sales development program, we can add him to a nurture campaign that features several different growth bets we've written over the last 2 years that talk about how to launch an SDR program, how to hire, train, and onboard SDRs, and even how to hand off leads effectively to sales. That's one way that we can segment them by topic interest. The other one is by industry. So LLR invests in several different industries, including fintech, industrial tech, and healthcare. Those are three where I've worked specifically with those investment teams to develop content for that audience and make sure that our distribution strategy targets them only. Earlier this year, we created an infographic about all of the kind of key areas of fintech that we think are most exciting for 2019, and therefore that's where we're looking to invest. And then we've gone through and written a content piece about each one of those segments, and we're rolling them out over time. But we're only sending them to the fintech specific companies in our database so that we know that that content is highly relevant for them.
One of the things that sort of occurs to me as we're talking is that you guys do have a really targeted audience, and it's pretty specific, and you have such an incredible process, I think, and system down. One of the challenges that some companies might have that are in different spaces, which, you know, a lot of our listeners will be, is scaling. So how do you scale that personal collection of interest? And it, to me, it's around planting the seeds on your website. So perhaps that also might be something that you guys are doing already. But when you're able to use your platforms to see where people are visiting, it's either going to be planting the seeds on your website or within, you know, looking at being able to track and categorize your blog posts into different product or interests and that sort of thing. And even developing the content itself, you know, you've got great tools out there where you can distribute content that helps you uncover as a person is sort of even doing a self-evaluation or exploring, you know, something, some piece that you've distributed, you can actually learn a bunch about them. So there are other ways to do that without having to do that one-on-one. I mean, you guys are getting the richest possible information by being able to talk one-on-one with these folks beforehand.
Yeah, personalization too is our next step. We're putting the pieces in place to make sure that we have A, the right data in Salesforce in order to personalize our emails more from a content standpoint in terms of who they're coming from as well. But also looking at things like when they get their first GrowthBits email, we actually send them what we call a welcome to GrowthBits email after we've had that initial qualification phone call. And it has four different pieces that cover four different topics. One thing that we're considering is looking at, all right, well, what's the first one they click on? Which one of these four do they think is most interesting? And that's an indicator of what topic is interesting to them. And so if we don't have them kind of manually entered into a nurture campaign, that's more of an automated way to do it. So there's a lot of different options there.
I've personally spoken with a number of PE firms that would love to replicate what you guys are doing.
As have I.
Yeah, I know you have. We had that conversation and they bring you guys up. They say, we want to do what they're doing. Yet they really struggle for a number of reasons and we don't even need to get into that. But how do you see LLR's approach to content marketing as unique compared to what you see in the industry, what these other folks are doing?
I do get those phone calls a lot and I go to conferences. There's one in the private equity industry that's really for all of the marketers out there. I get a lot of people saying, man, I'm watching your website and I'm watching your content and your LinkedIn. And how do you do this? Like you mentioned earlier, how do you scale this? So I think there's two very distinct things that make this strategy at LLR very different. Number one is that the real kicker here is that every single piece of content, every GrowthBit post is actionable. So as the owner of this content strategy, I will not let an interview end or a post go live unless there is really strong actionable insight that a reader can turn around and apply to their business. So I will keep asking questions in that interview until we can kind of get down to those key couple steps or takeaways that someone needs to get. And that can come in a variety of formats. That could be a checklist they give, that could be a step-by-step guide, a template, a case study, as long as it inspires action, it fits into the strategy. And the feedback from our audience tells us that we hit the mark on that approach. So from the very beginning, we've gotten very positive feedback, and we continue to hear anecdotally when our investment teams come back from a meeting that someone says, man, I love those GrowthBits, keep them coming. I love this idea and that idea. And there are things that they can actually put into action. Second is that very few private equity firms are doing this, or have dedicated the resources. And I think you mentioned earlier that, you know, this requires a tremendous amount of dedication. And I don't think people realize how much goes into creating this content until you start doing it. So there are a few other firms out there that were our inspiration, First Round Capital, Open View Partners, Insight Venture Partners. But most others that we see try to do content, start a corporate blog. It's written by their own investment professionals. And they struggle to come up with what to write and how to write it. I have a great network of other marketing leaders at PE firms, and they're always talking about how challenging that is to keep it up and keep it interesting. We took a different approach. All the content comes from these topical experts. We know that that's more important to our audience and that they would love to hear from their peers. So why not draw the insight from their peers and share it out with them?
It's also great personal branding as well to bring the executive leaderships of the companies that are part of your portfolio to the forefront, give them a voice. I can't imagine any executive who wouldn't be interested in sharing some of their thinking.
Right.
I think it's a win-win-win-win-win.
It's a great thought leadership opportunity for them.
Yeah. So with that, with the actionable insight requirement, you know, we are coming to a close. These podcasts are never long enough for me. As I say, I think at the end of every podcast, are there any tips that you would share to our listeners about building the strategy out? Or is there anything that you wish you had known a couple of years ago when you started this that you think could be helpful to our listeners?
One thing I mentioned earlier is to look for content inspiration around you. Look at what already exists. You don't necessarily have to come up with something brand new. You can leverage things around you all the time. Maybe there are documents being put together. Maybe there are ways that your firm is advising these companies or templates that they're sharing internally that you can sanitize or you can adjust a little bit and you can put out there as content. Also, you have to find the people who are genuinely excited about this to participate and get it started. It's really hard to sort of walk into your executive team and say, guess what? We're going to start a blog and you're all going to write for it. Unless those individuals really want to do it and are on board from the beginning and are personally enthusiastic about it, it's going to be a struggle the whole way. I think starting small with the people who really want to do it, who see the value, who see the thought leadership opportunity, and like let them get started, use them, encourage them to be sharing everything on LinkedIn and sort of gather those little stories about how it can be successful and how it's not too demanding on their time. And then you can start to sell it more internally like that. The third thing I'll say is the quality of the writing. You have to have good writers, and maybe you have those inside your organization. Maybe you have to find someone outside your organization. That's what we did. So our primary writer is the head of content for Demand Lab, and she hit the nail on the head right from the beginning in terms of our approach. I think we got really lucky in that sense. It's hard to find great writers, but it's worth the time in order to have the quality content that you need.
Yeah, and I also know that you guys did some solid work up front to establish your messaging architecture, your brand voice, all of these other, I mean, this was work that you guys did probably 18 months to 2 years ago to make sure that there was clarity, which actually is what supports, even though you have a great writer, it supports them capturing the voice, getting where you're coming from. It's a pretty heavy lift, and I'm always really impressed with what you've been doing.
Thank you. It's very exciting.
Yeah. We are at the end of our time and probably ran over a little bit. Thank you so much for joining us today, Christy. I love the conversation. I think our listeners will get a ton out of it. What is the best way for our listeners to reach you?
You can always get to me at kdelmuto@llrpartners.com. You can also go to our website, llrpartners.com, and you can find my picture in the team section and my email address there as well. I'm always happy to talk to people about our strategy.
Cool. Good. And a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in today to another episode of Revenue Rebels. I'm your host, Roan Morgan, and you can find me on LinkedIn by looking up Demand Lab and searching for R-H-O-A-N Morgan. Now let me hand it back over to you, Paul.
You've been listening to another episode of Revenue Rebels, a monthly program right here on the SLMA Radio Show, part of the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.